Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 5, entitled Narada Cursed, Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha, text number 19. Kala Chakam Brahmi Tiksna. Sarvam Niskarsayat Jagat. Svatantrama Buddhasyeha. Kim Asat Karma Bir Bhaved. Narada Muni had spoken of a physical object made of sharp blades and thunderbolts. The Haryasvas understood this allegory as follows. Eternal time moves very sharply, as if made of razors and thunderbolts. Uninterrupted and fully independent, it drives the activities of the entire world. If one does not try to study the eternal element of time, what benefit can he derive from performing temporary material activities? Purport. This verse explains the word ksodapavyam swayam brahmi, which especially refer to the orbit of eternal time. It is said that time and tide wait for no man. According to the moral instructions of the great politician Chanakya Pandit, ayusaksana ikupi nalabhya swarna kutibi na chinniratakam niti kachahanistadodika. Even a moment of one's lifetime could not be returned in exchange for millions of dollars. Therefore, one should consider how much loss one suffers if he wastes even a moment of his life for nothing. Like an animal, living like an animal, not understanding the goal of life, one foolishly thinks that there is no eternity and that his lifespan of 50, 60, or at the most 100 years is everything. This is the greatest foolishness. Time is eternal, and in the material world, one passes through different phases of his eternal time. Time is compared herein to a sharp razor. A razor is meant to shave the hair from one's face, but if not carefully handled, the razor will cause disaster. One is advised not to create a disaster by misusing his lifetime. One should be extremely careful to utilize the span of his life for spiritual realization or Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tum Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishavana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyacha Sakripa Sindhubhyacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Earlier in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the situation where Bhishma Dev is on his deathbed, literally a bed of arrows. And it is said that at that time, the Pandavas, as well as Lord Krishna, came to see him. And Yudhisthira Maharaj was in a very distressed state of mind. Because at that time, the Battle of Kurukshetra had just been fought, and 640 million people had died in that battle. And Yudhisthira felt that these 640 million people had really died on his behalf, because after all, the war was fought to put him on the throne. So therefore he thought, simply because I am such a greedy man that I could not bear not to have my throne, and for that, for just to fulfill that desire, I sacrificed the lives of 640 million people just to satisfy my material desire. Just see. So Yudhisthira was very depressed. He felt not very happy. Bhishma Dev, although lying on a bed of arrows, was very peaceful. He was very transcendental, very unaffected, near a picture, unaffected. So it was Bhishma Dev who was comforting Yudhisthira, although Bhishma Dev was dying. And Bhishma Dev, the first thing he explained to Yudhisthira, he said, "My dear Yudhisthira, you are taking it that you are the cause of the death of these 640 million people. But the reality is not that. Actually, the real reason is simply the direction of time. It's simply the direction of time." So Bhishma Dev introduced this concept of time, and time moving in a certain direction. And then what will we do? Then we are simply swept up by the current of time, and it is inevitably happening to us. In that way, he was describing. Therefore, we simply see how prakriti kriyamani gunakarmani sarvasa. We see how the three modes of material nature are acting in a particular way. And in that way, we see the influence of time. Time is moving in its own way. And in the course of time, dukavat annivat sukham, happiness and distress, will come on its own accord. So it is stated. Kalena sarvatra gabir ramasa. That is destined. There's nothing we can do to alter that, to change that. Time brings favorable moments and unfavorable moments. Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi. He was struggling to print his Back to Godhead magazine. In 1944, he had struggled to publish his Back to Godhead magazine. And during the war, although paper was rationed, Prabhupada managed to convince a big army commander and got a quota of paper and published his Back to Godhead for world peace. Subsequently, Prabhupada in the 60s and late 50s also, again, 1960, continued to publish his Back to Godhead magazine. And at that time, Prabhupada gave some translations of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of the Nectar of Devotion, for the first time. He began to translate the verses and so on. And then Prabhupada went in Delhi, in the heat of Delhi summer, on the street to distribute the Back to Godhead magazine. And one day, There was a cow which suddenly moved its head. We are seeing here in the purport a reference to Chanakya Pandit, who was very practical and wise. And Chanakya Pandit also said, never trust an animal with horns. Even a cow is, oh, the cow. Yes, yes, we worship the cow, but we watch out for the horns. It's not like, oh, Gomata, Gomata, Gomata. Yes, but Gomata has a big horn there. And we are a little careful with that horn. And if Gomata is moving too much, then we take a step back. That's all right. Or even we, that's allowed, right? That's not aparad, that's necessary. Anyway, that cow, it hit Srila Prabhupada, who at that time was hit in the ribs, which hurt him very much, actually. And it really affected him. How could such a thing happen? How could such a thing happen to Krishna's pure devotee who is executing Lord Krishna's mission? But this is the nature of time. Time will bring these reverses in everyone's life. And at one point, the final reverse will come, the end of our life. Right? And there's no one who escapes this. That was Yudhisthira Maharaj's statement to Yamaraj, who was in disguise, who was questioning him, and who asked him, what is the most amazing thing? And Yudhisthira replied, the most amazing thing is that everyone is dying everywhere, and still we think it's not going to happen to us. All around us, people have died. I remember that I was 5 years old and my grandfather died. And I was too young to understand too much, but my father took me to the cemetery in Europe. They have these cemeteries. And there were the stones on the grave with engravings on the tombstone. And I saw one, and usually there's the dates, the name and the dates, how long somebody lived. And I could read, and I read that somebody who was born after me had already died. That impressed me very much. I stood there. That impressed me more than my grandfather dying, actually, because grandfather was old. But the fact that I saw that somebody who was younger than me had died, phew, I suddenly realized, boy, I could die any moment, any minute. Prabhupada also, in a lecture, Prabhupada asked the devotees, and he said, please point at an old man. Sometimes we do this exercise, right? And usually I find like somebody who's very young, preferably a child, but today I don't see one in this lecture. Then we ask some child, because they say children speak the truth, right? But someone who looks a little bit like a child, you just look still very young, right? Just innocent like child. So can you point to an old man? Please, you have to. You cannot refuse a Swami. Krishna has endowed you with intelligence. It's not sinful to point at an old man. Then, who are you pointing to? He points at his own chest. Okay. Anyway, Prabhupada, he asked a five-year-old boy. He asked, who is an old man? And Prabhupada pointed at a five-year-old boy and said, he is an old man. Everyone said, is he an old man, five-year-old boy? Yes, he is an old man. Why is he an old man? Because he can die any moment. That's the definition of an old man. He can die any moment. So in this way, We are all simply in the hands of time. And this is for many people in this world a somewhat depressing topic. They would rather not discuss too much. When the hairs are growing too gray, they put some black and they try to forget it. Right? They hope that time will also not notice it, right? And that time will forget them. Huh? As if they can tell time, I am still young. I'm still young. But no, time will continue to act. We don't see it. We don't see it. But every day we change. In magazines, you sometimes see these pictures, two pictures, and it said, find the differences between these pictures. And they're exactly the same. But then when you look more careful, in one picture in his pocket he has a pen, and in another picture he doesn't have a pen. And, you know, in one he has a golden tooth, other one it is not a golden tooth. Things like this. Some little difference. And you find some 15 or a dozen differences and so on. Although at first sight it looks the same. So every day we're going through that experience. Because in the morning when you get up and you go in the bathroom, you look in the mirror, you say, good morning, handsome. Right? Here you are. Right? That nice familiar face called me. This is me. Right? No. Actually, what you see there in the mirror is a face you have never seen before. You have never seen it before. The face that you saw this morning in the mirror, you had never seen before. It was totally new. Because every day it's changing. Every day. Every day you look different. But it's subtle. It's subtle. So you have to look very carefully, like in those pictures. What are the differences? At first sight, you would think there is no difference. Look the same. But the reality is no, there is a change. Change is there. Some little black has appeared. Some little extra line is appearing. Something that wasn't there before. Some hairs start growing in places where they never were growing before. Huh? It's like that. As one gets older, hair tends to increase growing from all kinds of places. Right? Some people pull that out, but it grows back. Yeah? These are the symptoms of old age. Ah. So what shall we say? The influence of time is inevitable. One time there was I saw a short film, and there were two people. They were coming back from a party. They were dressed in Western dress, smoking, very fancy evening dress, evening gown, very fancy, like movie star. They were wearing very fancy dress, and they looked very well. But when they came home, he was looking tall, she was looking perfect, all the right measurements, everything. Then when they came home, they took their shoes off, and it turned out that inside his shoes there were false plateaus. So he became a lot shorter, not as impressive as before. She pulled off the hair. It was a false wig, and under it was sort of miserable hair, not so impressive. He also took off the top piece, and he was bald. Then he put out his jacket, and the shoulder fillings were there. So when the jacket was off, his shoulders were not as broad as before. As she pulled off the eyelashes, the extra long, and while he was letting the belly strap go, she let out the air of the balloons. And at the end of the movie, you see these two old people sitting in bed, and they both have a table next to the bedside with a glass of water and their teeth inside. So you're all smiling like anything. But this is, it was a nice movie. I liked it a lot. That's why I thought I'd share it with you. You might also like it. So the influence of time is like that, is the influence of time never waits for us. Time doesn't wait a moment. Time is always moving along, all along. And our time is daily diminishing. We are celebrating birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Surprise party. You come in your apartment, you open the door, and all your friends are inside. Right? The light goes on. Happy birthday! Right? Big cake is there, like that. Huh? This kind of birthday party people celebrate. For every year, a candle. Happy, happy birthday. But it means simply another year closer to death. So what is so good about it? Right? We celebrate every year that we have 1 year shorter to live. Right? This is another way of looking at it. Right? Yes. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that actually one starts dying from the moment of birth. People are thinking that at the moment of birth one starts living and dying. Oh, well, that is at the end. Right? That's at the end. No. Prabhupada said, no. You start dying from the moment of birth because you come closer to death all the time. Right? So this cloth is getting more and more serious, more and more dramatic, and death is like a very intense thing. I have in my life seen many people who were dying and somehow or other dead. For one thing, when I was the temple president in Vrindavan, many people come to leave their bodies in Vrindavan, and I saw so many times. And one time someone came from the Malik family, the same family that Prabhupada belonged to, from Calcutta. And they sent him with a special letter, please take care of him very well. And we did. We showed him all of Vrindavan, and we took him to the Yamuna, and he drowned. So we took care of him very well. then what to do? So we informed the family in Calcutta, and they told us, you wait, you keep the body until we come. That wasn't easy, huh? So we had all this ice and on all sides, packed with ice, but the family didn't come. It took really long for them to come. And at one point, there were like 30 vultures sitting on the roof. Right? They knew what we had. Right? It was very difficult to keep the body. So on many occasions, I have seen death from nearby. I have seen people dying on many occasions, actually, somehow or other. It is a shocking experience. It's a heavy thing. And really, we'd rather avoid that. But then we see when Arjuna is in the middle of the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, senior ubayor madhye, between two armies. At that time, Arjuna is visidantam. He is lamenting. He is lamenting. And Krishna, prahasan. He's smiling. Not just a little bit, prahasan. He is completely smiling. Right? Krishna seems to have a good time. Right? Krishna seems to not at all be affected by these things. That is Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, a devotee laughs. We laugh. We laugh at time. We laugh at old age. We laugh at death. Right? Old age is not bad for a devotee. Why, you might say? Why? You can do less service. Well, yes, but when you are young, you can see children have unlimited energy, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't have no idea how to use it. It's all just, they just do nonsense all the time, like monkeys, right? Children are very similar to monkeys, isn't it? I saw in Vrindavan how the Gurukul performed the Ramayana. Was the best performance I ever saw. Especially the army of monkeys. Boy, they were good. They were natural, pulling at each other and doing all kinds of monkey things. So children, they are doing all this nonsense. They have so much energy. Then we are young, 20 years of age. It's a crucial moment in life. You have to make some choices. What are you going to do? Will you get married? Will you not get married? Oh my God. You count on the buttons of your kurta. Not married, married, not married, married. You sew on an extra button if you don't like the outcome. Like that, you know. We are such crucial questions. What shall I do? Where shall I live? What profession? What choices shall I make for my whole life? 20. A lot of mental anxiety, right? So much stress, so much anxiety. Physically, oh, you got it all, right? You jump around as if it's nothing, right? That's no problem. You run around all day and little tired and in no time, energy is back. Try that when you're a little older. Once the energy goes, it takes forever for it to come back. No. But no mental peace at 20. At 50, I saw a man while I was traveling. He was wearing a t-shirt. He said, I've heard it all, I've seen it all, I've done it all, but I can't remember it all. I saw him, and I just met this man while I was traveling. So I told him, I said, this is a great t-shirt you have. I really like it. He said, well, actually, I designed it myself. I said, brilliant. Very deep, you know. I'll say it again to you, you know. I heard it all, seen it all, done it all, but I can't remember it all. This is old age. Yes. So, like this, in old age, one is gradually losing his power. That may be there. But for a devotee, old age is good. Very good. Because every year is a year more in devotional service. That counts on your eternal bank balance. So automatically, it's good. It's getting better. Right? And the passions are a little less. And when we're 50 plus, no more choices to make. Right? What choice is there to make? Life has already taken its course. It is what it is. And one comes to the point where he says, well, I am what I am. When you're young, you think, well, what am I supposed to be? What am I going to be? Right? When you're about 50, you think, I am what I am, and that's it. Right? You know, too late to change. Right? Yes. So, if we simply are Vaishnava, then too late to change. Too late to change now. Now I can't do anything else anymore. I came on a plane from Toronto to New York, sitting next to a man. This man said, I had a dream. I said, brother, tell me all about it. He said, I have a dream of a world where there is only peace. I said, well, that's a nice dream. Let there be peace. Yes. He said, yes, I have a dream of a world where there's no religion. I said, well, what about me? What you gonna do with me, you know? So I've done this for so many years now. It's a bit late to change, you know. I mean, what to do? What to do now? Yeah? Then he looked at me very seriously. And he said, you are a problem. that looked serious. So people have this idea that funny ideas. But we know the opposite. We know that actually if one engages his life in the service of Krishna, that one's whole life becomes day by day more auspicious. Devotional service is described to be subhada. Klesa kni subhada. It is that it is subhada. It means it is auspicious, all auspicious. Everything becomes auspicious through devotional service. So in that way, our whole life, everything is just favorable. Everything favorable. Our bad karma is being destroyed. We are making advancement. So what is our concern? Death is no longer a problem. First of all, as a devotee, we know we're eternal. So we're not worrying about death. Then, you know, yes, you may say, yes, that's fine. You may be eternal. But then again, death can still be a problem because it depends on your karma. Karmana daivanetrena. And if you don't have good karma, then you may be eternal, but then your next life will not be very good, and you will suffer. Consider that. Yes, but we don't worry about that also, because devotional service destroys all karma. It is klesakni. It destroys all suffering. It destroys all prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. All manifest karma, all unmanifest karma destroyed. No problem. Prabhupada explained the fan. You turn it off, it slows down. So Prabhupada said, as soon as you take up devotional service, your karmic reactions slow down, immediately become diminished until they stop. So what is our concern? We are not worried about that. All auspicious. Death is no problem. Next life, no problem. Next life will be a good life. It is said in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that even the yogi who is not successful in spiritual life, that he will attain an auspicious destination. Therefore, for a devotee, everything is auspicious. Everything is favorable. So time is not at all a cause of anxiety. All right, time may give us a little pain in the back or a little pain in the front or a little pain somewhere else, a little discomfort. In fact, you may see that some people at the end of their life have to go through a lot of suffering. A lot of suffering. They have a long, long disease and so on before they leave this world. So isn't that a big problem in old age? No, that's not a problem either. That's very good. Very good. Well, you call that very good? I'd rather not. No, that is also good, ultimately, because in that short time, sometimes devotees also go through this difficulty, but in these times of difficulty, so much karma is being burned up very quickly. Lifetimes of karma are being burned up very quickly. So when a devotee goes through this suffering, then he knows, well, Krishna is kind to me. He has favored me. He is arranging that I'm very quickly getting purified now. Lifetimes of karma are burning up, and therefore I know that I may have to suffer now for a short time, for maybe some years, whatever. But finally, because of this karma is all burned up, my final destination will be so much better. So, all right, I'll take it. It is not a pleasure, but I somehow or other tolerate it. Tatenu kampam susamiksamano bunjane vatnakritam vipakam ritpukpapurvi yuvidadan namaste yamukti padaya sadaya bhak. So like this, we realize we tolerate. We tolerate it as an arrangement of the Lord for our purification. And then if we take it like that, surely we'll get the mercy of the Lord. So in this way, in a devotee's life, everything is ultimately auspicious. You cannot think of anything that's not auspicious. Nothing inauspicious can happen, really. Only in a materialist life there are good times and bad times. But in a devotee's life, only good times. Even when suffering comes, it's good. We take it as good. Of course, we may not be Kunti Devi who said Vipadam, who is asking for Bipad. We are not asking for, please give me more trouble. We don't pray to Krishna. My dear Lord, please give me more trouble. I don't have enough. That we are not praying. But at the same time, we are accepting everything is Krishna's mercy. So in this way, a devotee can be completely free, completely transcendental, and completely free from suffering. Completely. Completely transcendental to suffering. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that devotional service is klesa gni. It destroys all klesh, all suffering. It is said that in bhava, a trace of suffering remains. One still experience. One is in bhava, but sometimes one is still experiencing some suffering, and there is also still some vikna. Sometimes one is experiencing the world as an impediment. One is feeling that there is something that is not right. But in prem, there is no sense of suffering, no sense that anything, that there is any obstacle in this world. No impediment. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. That's prem. No suffering, and everything is perfect in prem. Rupa Goswami describes it like that in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So that's quite amazing. This is what Krishna consciousness brings. That is ihayasya hariyadase karmanamana sakira nikila swapi avastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. Then one is truly a jivan mukta. Already in this world, completely, completely in the spiritual sky. Completely. So devotional service is the most wonderful activity. And therefore, devotional service lifts us above the influence of time. Devotional service is giving us freedom, and therefore, through devotional service, day by day, we become more and more transcendental to this material situation, and we just become like Krishna. Even amidst the battlefield of material existence, because in one sense you can compare Bombay to Kurukshetra, right? On this battlefield of material existence, just like Krishna, we become Prahasan, always smiling, even in the midst of happiness and distress. This is the transcendental platform. Not artificial, but really smiling because there is happiness in our hearts. Okay. Time has moved along while we were talking. And while we were chatting about the theory of time and how, while we were chatting in this way, in the practical sense, time has moved along. And again, while this class was going on, another hour of our life has disappeared forever. Any question or comment? This young boy wants to ask a question. He's only 4 years old. Double. 2 times 4. 2 times 4.
What you're saying is, I'm talking about my own personal life. Is that we have given many years in Krishna consciousness.
But. There's no but. There's no problem. Then we have not given the life in Krishna consciousness. You have not given it. Give it today. Give it now. It means we are not giving. We say that we are giving. Oh, Krishna, I am yours. In front of all the devotees, where we say, oh, hey, Gopinath, Amanivedana Suno. We sing with lots of bhav. And then, in our everyday life, we think, well, we have scales. And we think, well, so much for Krishna, and so much I need. Well, something for Krishna. But we need for our family, we need to live, we need to maintain. We put so much on the personal side. Sometimes you put here, take a little, put it also there. So that's not allowed. This side, the Krishna side, has to be heavier. Has to be heavier than the personal side. Otherwise you are in unhealthy condition. Like Prabhupada said, 50% of the income, that means it's here. So, and then just that 1 rupee. You know, you never give 50, you always give 51. Everybody knows. So give 51. Then balance is for Krishna. You see the point? So, this is one answer. Now you are looking not happy. So I'm going to give you answer number 2. Right? Then you will be very happy. Is that okay? So, answer number 2 is this movement is just totally made of bhava. It is a movement, the building stones of the Sankirtan movement are just bhava. It is just transcendental ecstasy. Bhava means ecstasy. So it's a movement made of ecstasy. Now, we may be sour-faced, materialistic people. So we say, well, I'm not enjoying this kirtan so much, you know, but it's too much noise. But then some guy comes, right, and he pulls you, you know, come on, dance, you know. It's okay, I don't like dancing so much. Then why are you smiling? So the bhav is there. So much bhav, so much ecstasy is there. And it takes us. And all this prasad that you took. And all that it is just full of mercy. Packed with mercy. So much full. But our mind is still like, well, I don't know. So many years I'm chanting, but I don't feel the change. You know? Meanwhile, so much karma has already been destroyed. Once you chant the holy name, and again, you chant once and you destroy more karma than you can sinful. You destroy more sinful activities than you can commit in a lifetime. Yeah, chanting once more sinful activities than you can destroy in a lifetime. There is a verse to that effect, and somehow or other, I always forget this verse. This is the one verse I always forget. And one time I landed here in Bombay, there was a taxi driver. We came by taxi, and this, I think Swayam Bhagavan took me to the taxi. And this taxi driver, he immediately starts to quote this verse. And I thought, here I come with my danda and everything, looking really impressive, defeated by a taxi driver. Krishna was showing me. But at least I know the meaning of this verse. Chanting once, more sin destroyed than we've committed in a lifetime. Simply follow the 4 regulative principles. Simply chant 16 rounds. That's all. All is required. Not such a big thing. Little difficult, but we do it. That's all that is required. Prabhupada said, that's sufficient. Then you can go back to Godhead. Right? Prabhupada said, in Baltimore. There's one devotee who told me personally, because you hear so many Prabhupada said, but there was a devotee in Baltimore. Baltimore is about an hour away from Washington. Everyone went to Washington to meet Prabhupada, right? But one devotee, the Pujari, had to stay back in Baltimore. So he was there all alone. And then the devotees, one devotee showed Prabhupada a picture of the deities. And Prabhupada in Baltimore, while they were in Washington, Prabhupada saw the picture and said, "Oh, Gonitai." He said, "Oh, they are very beautiful, very beautiful." Prabhupada said, "Where are they from?" He said, "Oh, in Baltimore." "Oh, is that far from here?" The devotee said, "No, only 1 hour." Prabhupada said, "Okay, let's go." The devotee said, "You want to see?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, let's go." So then they all went. All the devotees got in cars and they all drove to Baltimore. And suddenly this Pujari had the surprise of his life. There was Prabhupada with all the devotees coming for darshan in Baltimore. He thought he was the only one back. So Prabhupada got the darshan of the deities. He got the darshan of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said to him, he said, "Simply chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles, can go back to Godhead." Yes. There are some different occasions where Prabhupada said like this. But how is this? We have given our whole life, but we have not made a commitment. We are not pure. We don't have prem. So how can you go back to Godhead when you are not pure? You can go. You can go. How? By mercy. By mercy. So we need mercy. Where to get it? Where to get it? Well, first of all, Prabhupada gave the mercy, right? Because he said, at the end of our life, the little bit of service that we have done in our whole lifetime, it's not going to put much weight in the scale. But Prabhupada's desire that we go back to Godhead, that will tip the balance. You see? That's how it works. And why only Prabhupada? It's like I was in Vrindavan, and 1 year, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers came for the Disappearance Day festival. Puri Maharaj. And he was 93 that year. Very, very old. So he said, "I cannot speak very much because age is making it difficult," he said. He said, "But Swamiji," Prabhupada, "Swamiji went to the West and he met so many Vaishnavas," he said. "So you are all Vaishnavas." He said, "So Vaishnavas, they can bless. So you please bless me," he said. "So you all please bless me," he said. It impressed me a lot. Huh? It impressed me a lot. Because I was just thinking, yes, when you're 93, you think, I can leave any moment. Any moment I may have to leave this body. And then it's going to count. Everything, whatever service I've done, it's going to be counted. It's going to be looked at. I need all the blessings I can get. If I get an extra few hundred blessings from the Vaishnavas, that will add some weight in the scale. So please bless me." So I'm also asking you, you are all Vaishnavas by Prabhupada's mercy. So you please bless me. All right? Agreed? It's not supposed to laugh. It's not a joke. It's very serious. You have to bless me. So, all these years, so many blessings. So many blessings. If somebody with tilak on his face looks at you, he's blessing you. Everyone has tilak. So just by looking at each other. Bless, 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 bless. So you didn't want to say that you were blessing me, but you're blessing me anyway with your tilak. Thank you very much for your blessings. You see the idea? Ugh. Okay. It's not important to be frightened or disturbed. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. You are well protected. You're well protected. Children are always disturbed. They're always in anxiety. But the adults are protecting them. You know? I once had a dream of Prabhupada. Right? And it was in the 80s, and when we had big, big leaders in ISKCON and so on. Prabhupada was very big in my dream. His head was touching the clouds. And he was walking, very aristocratic, like Prabhupada walked. But he was huge, a very big Prabhupada. His head's touching the clouds. Very peaceful. In the front, in his cloth, there was a pocket. And in that pocket were all the leaders of ISKCON. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Hari Kesh, Bhagavan, they were all there. And they were looking over the edge of the pocket. And they were talking, we should go this way. No, we should do it like that. They were arguing. And Prabhupada walking, sometimes looking down, smiling like this. So we are totally protected. It doesn't depend so much on us. We just have to cooperate. All we have to do, please cooperate. That's all. Cooperate. Follow the four regulator principles, chant 16 rounds, as good as possible. Cooperate. Rise early in the morning, cooperate. Read the Bhagavad Gita, cooperate. Eat only Krishna Prasadam, not that, not these puchkas and fuchkas and all the other things from outside. Right? Nothing. Like that. Just cooperate. It's all that's required. It's not so difficult. So no need. No need for fear. Abhayam. Fearless. We can be fearless. Krishna will protect us. Rakshishya titi vishwaso. We should have strong faith that he will protect us. We're not alone. Krishna is with us all the time. All the blessings of all the great Vaishnava. Prabhupada is with us. All the time. But not a lot. No need to fear. Anybody else a question? Otherwise, we should stop. Then we'll stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.